Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Child, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now, in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
All right, look with me back now in Luke 18. You know, our Lord is teaching in this chapter particularly that men ought always to pray. Always to pray. And that God's elect do pray. They cry unto Him day and night. And He'll avenge them. He will avenge them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. He is our reward, and so it doesn't matter what men do to us. But he comes down after he talked about, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, he says, now, I'm going to answer this. I'm going to give this widow what she wants, because she's going to wear me out if I don't. And that's what he's saying, crying unto him day and night that God will meet our needs and do like a, we just keep, it's called importunity. You just keep knocking, keep knocking, keep coming. And one way you know that you've come to Christ, you continually come into Christ. But anyway, he goes on to say here, and he shows us how the way in which men pray and the spirit in which men approach God by these two men who went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. And that's what he's showing us here. And there's two things I want us to understand here. That the Pharisee and the publican represents two classes of people with two kinds of faith. Because you look there in verse 8 and he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now he's going to find faith. He'll find faith. But he'll find two kinds of it. He'll find the faith of a Pharisee and he'll find the faith of a publican. That you got one of those faiths, one or the other. You either believe in yourself or you believe in God. You either trust in yourself or you trust in God. And that's what our Lord's saying here. And then look what it says here now. And I heard old Scott say about this. He said, you know, either you, when you come to God, you're either bragging or begging. One or the other. Bragging or begging. And I certainly got nothing to brag about. So I come as a mercy beggar. I heard a preacher say that just the other day. Come as mercy beggars. Mercy beggars. And that's what this publican did. He is a mercy beggar. Bartimaeus is a mercy beggar. Those 10 lepers were mercy beggars. And here we go. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He spake this parable as a rebuke, condemning those which trusted in themselves. Verse 9, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He spoke this parable as a rebuke, as a condemning those who trust in themselves. Trust in themselves. You see, our Lord always has an objective, an end to His teaching in parables and to His teaching. And I hope that God will bless us tonight that we can see together what He's talking about, these two different classes of worshipers. And you know, it goes on down here. Let me just give you an instance of it in verse 16 about the two different classes of worshipers. One a Pharisee, and others trusting in God. But in verse 16, Jesus called them unto Him and said, suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, God's people are little children. He makes them little children. Makes them act like little children. Dependent as children. Needy as children. But then He goes on down here, and that's what He said. I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child ain't going to get in. Then a certain ruler asked Him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So two different classes of people there. One's a child, one wants to do something. Our Lord told him, well, if you want something to do, this is what you do. Then come follow Me. He wouldn't do what the Lord told him to do. So that's the situation. So now let's look here at these two, this Pharisee and this publican, these two men who went up to the temple to pray. And I want you to see the first one, self-satisfied profession. Folks got a profession. And here's a proud professor, which that's absolutely an anomaly. What's the word I want for it? Anyway, it's a contradiction. That's what it is, a contradiction. I'll get it in a minute. Just give me time. Now, to say you're a proud professor of Christ and religion is a flat contradiction. It's a contradiction. He is a self-satisfied professor, this man was. You see, it says here, the Pharisee stood. The two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He was proud, prayed thus with himself. He was self-satisfied. And he said, I thank You that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. He believed in being religious. He loved his religion. He liked religion. He liked to go up to the temple to pray. Not only did he like to go to the temple to pray so other folks could hear him, but he liked to pray out in the marketplace. He liked to pray on the street corners. He liked to pray in the restaurant. He liked to hold everybody's hands when they did pray. He liked to pray in the doctor's office. He likes to pray in the hospital. He likes to pray where he can get two or three together so he can make himself known to everybody as being religious. And oh, he goes regularly to his place of worship. He went to the temple to pray. And he had great respect for religion. And everybody, I believe, he honestly believed that everybody ought to say their prayers. Everybody ought to say their prayer. And he had this man had great faith in himself. Look what it said in verse 9. Which trusted in themselves. He trusted in himself. And that's what this man did. He trusted in himself. Now, let me give you some things that he trusted in. He gloried in what he is. He says there in verse 11, he stood and prayed thus with God, said, I'm not as other men. He gloried in what he is. I'm not like other men are. Oh, I'm a fine man. I'm not only a fine man, I'm a peacock of a man. I mean, I'm a handsome man, I'm a strong man, I'm a wise man, I'm a religious man, I'm a praying man. I go to church regularly. I go up to the temple. And look what else he says here now. Not only did he glory in what he was, what he is, I'm not as other men. He glories in what he does. Down in verse 12, he said, I fast twice in the week. He gloried in what he does. I fast twice. He gonna, you know, whatever he does, he's going to tell you. He's going to let you know. Everybody else in earshot of him is going to find out what he does now. Huh? Not only does he glory in what he does, but he's very proud of his self-denial. I want everybody to know, I deny myself. I fast twice in the week. I'm proud of it. And then he glories in what he gives. Look down there in verse 12. He not only glories in what he is, I'm not as other men, what he does, I fast twice in the week, but in what he gives. I give tithes of everything that I possess. This man has got religion coming out of his ears. It's like Kyle said the other night, said America's got religion up to here. Well, this is one of them fellas that have. And you notice, I want you to notice this. Every sentence he started with I. Started with I. I thank you. I fast. I pray. I tithe. He trusts in himself, not in God. And in fact, it tells us there in verse 11 that the Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself. Thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God. No. He was praying for himself. Praying to make his own self feel good. Making his own conscience to be quietened. To make his own self feel real good about the state of his soul. And he attended services, no doubt, because he liked to patronize things that are honorable. He thought religion very honorable. He's like a man that old John Bunyan wrote about in his Pilgrim's Progress. When they got to... He said they went into the city of civility. And there's a man, the man there named Mr. Morality. And his son was the mayor of the city of civility, and his name was Mr. Legality. He was the mayor, and that's the way this fellow was. He'd been mayor, he'd been Mr. Old Legality, and his father was Mr. Civility. Mr. Morality. But oh, look what else it says about it here about him. There's no danger. He prayed and stood thus with himself. He felt good about himself. There's no danger of his faith getting shaken. You wouldn't shake his faith under no circumstances. Christ never shook their faith. And I read today and it just made my blood cold. And where they said in John 9 that this man is a sinner. Talking about Christ. They called Christ a sinner. This man is a sinner. We know this man's a sinner, is what they told that blind man. Call Christ a sinner. And there's no doubt you could never shake his faith because he's a very fine fellow and he trusts in himself. And he made himself what he is. And he likes what he made. And he likes the God that he prays to because him and his God is just alike. They both admire one another. And oh, beloved, he has no sense. This man has no sense of a personal need before God. He trusts in himself that he is righteous. Ain't that what our Lord, he said, rebuked him for certain who trusted in themselves that they are righteous. My soul, I tell you what, if a man has a righteousness in this world that's acceptable to God, God's got to give it to him. That's the only righteousness that God will have. The only righteousness that God will accept. The only righteousness we can stand before God in is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't have one. Our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. Our best deeds are. And oh my, he has no sense of a personal need before God. He trusts himself. He's righteous. He's rich in religious work. Rich in them. He's increased with the goods of personal qualifications. He's rich and increased with goods and has neither nothing. Nothing. And I'll tell you something about men like this. They'll stay like this. It's as natural to them as water running downhill. They'll stay like this if a strong man arm don't come and attack his castle and spoil his goods.
Amen.
Huh? And oh, I'm looking over here in Proverbs 30. Why don't you look in Proverbs 30? He's of a famous generation. He's of a famous generation. And I want to show you this famous generation. You know, the cross of Christ would have no appeal for him. Proverbs chapter 30. Get over there with me for just a moment. Look with me in verse 12. It talks here about so many different generations. Well, here's a generation that this man's of. It says in verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That's this old boy. That's the generation he's of. His daddy, no doubt, was that way. His mama's that way. His children's going to be that way if God don't intervene. He's pure in his own eyes. He's not washed from his filthiness. The cross of Christ has no appeal for this man. He wouldn't dare belittle himself by classing himself with sinners. His eyes are so innocent that he can't see anything wrong or bad about himself at all. I challenge you to go home and do this sometime. I've asked you to do this before. Go home and sit down and get you a piece of paper and write down things that you would like to change about, you know, that's wrong with me, that I know is wrong with me. You reckon you got a big enough piece of paper? Huh? I'm serious about it. Most folks, you know, whenever you know why you can find out that dang hard, most folks are a lot like this, start telling what's wrong with them. Huh? That's why husbands and wives argue and fuss and fight all the time, because they'll tell one another what's wrong with one another. Now, ain't that right? But you know, do like this Pharisee. He didn't see anything wrong with himself. I see enough wrong with me that I know I got to have Christ. I see enough wrong with me that I know that I have nothing to commend myself to God in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Not anything that I've said, thought, or done. Well, and I'll tell you something else about this man. He has no love for others. Look what it says. And there in verse 9. He trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. He has no love for others. He despised others. Now, he's consistent with his profession. Others have so many imperfections and faults that he's in his self-righteousness, he can't esteem them, and he surely can't pity them. Look what he says. I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I'm not like other men. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer, and I surely ain't like that publican over there. Now, he prayed that that publican hear him pray like that. You know, everybody else is a sinner but me. Oh, my. There is no true religious uprightness but in his own proud heart. Oh, my. He only believed in himself, doing for himself. He didn't care about anybody else. But now let's look at this poor publican. Let's look at him. This is the attitude men are coming to God in. This is the spirit. And our Lord says, pray. And this is how some people come before God, how they present themselves before God. And the publican, standing afar off, verse 13, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is a self-abased, self-confessed sinner. Just the polar opposite of that Pharisee. He was a poor publican. He was poor in everything. He had nothing whatsoever to come before God with. Nothing. Look over in Psalm 86. Let's look at this together. This is one, I've quoted this so many times. So look at it. Psalm 86 in verse 1. This man's a poor man. He ain't got enough. This other man's wealthy. He's wealthy in righteousness. He's wealthy in works. He's wealthy in prayer. He's wealthy in his works. He's wealthy in his gifts. He don't need nothing. But this poor old publican, he didn't have anything. Look at Psalm 86, 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me. For I am poor and I am needy. That's the way that publican was. I am poor and I am needy. Oh, he believed. He was like this publican. Let's go back over in our text. He was like that Pharisee. He believed in prayer. I don't think they went through the into the temple together, but they was there at the same time. He believes in prayer. He went up at the same time as a Pharisee, but he didn't go up like that Pharisee went up. He didn't go up like that Pharisee went up. Not up to the temple. Not up into the presence of God. One went up there, that Pharisee went up there to perform a work. To tell God how great he is. The other went up there to confess how bad he is. Tell how weak he is. Religious custom made one go up. A deep, deep felt need made the other one go up. Let me tell you something about this publican. Not only that does he believe in prayer, but he's sensible of God's holiness. It says there he stands afar off. He stands afar off. God's holy. He was concerned, and he knew the distance and the difference between the character of God and his own. There's such a great distance between me and God and his character and my character. And that's why he stood afar off. How many times do you look in the scriptures where men stood afar off? They stood afar off. This man stood afar off. That Pharisee, he went right up there where everybody could see him. That publican stayed way back there. He stayed afar off. And oh, far off is our true condition before God. Strangers from the covenant of Israel. Yeah. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. And far off. But if Christ don't bring us nigh. That prodigal was far off when the father saw him and ran to meet him. And this publican, he didn't come just to pray. He didn't come just to pray. Though he came up to pray. He came up to bow himself, prostrate himself, to have a personal dealing with God Almighty. Not just to use empty words and use his time there just to make himself feel good about himself. He came there to have a personal dealing with God Almighty. I'm in need. And oh, he is conscious of his own sinfulness. Look what it says, he smote upon his breast. He's conscious of God's holiness. He's afar off. And he's conscious of his own sinfulness. He beat upon his breast. He knows. He knows. And this is the difference between believers and folks just in religion. He knows that the source of his guilt is deeper than some work he done or didn't do, some act he committed or didn't commit. He knew that the source of his guilt run down deep right into the soul of his heart. He knew that his heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why he smote his breast. This is where my problem is, inside my heart. I've got problems here. This is my problem right here. And folks want to talk. And our brother Henry, bless his heart, years ago, I never will forget it, the first time I heard him say, sin's not something you do with your hand. Something you do with your heart. But most people, they think it's something you do with your hands or something you do with your feet. But how often do we sin and we don't move a muscle just like we come to Christ? How much sin is in a human heart and in a human mind and in a human soul? Only God could possibly know that. But I tell you, we know enough about it to make us cry out to God and smite our breast and say, oh God, have mercy on me. He stands before God as a self-condemned man. He is already condemned, overwhelmed with shame. It said he could not lift up his eyes to heaven. He didn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He's overwhelmed with shame. He is so condemned with himself. He wouldn't lift up his eyes. He takes his true place before God as one condemned already. Not going to be condemned, already condemned. And look what he pleads when he gets in the presence of God with his eyes down, prostrate before God, in the dust. In the dust. Jonathan Edwards reading him the other day, and this is a man who's educated at Yale and was a president at Princeton for a while. And he pastored the same church for 27 years. And I'll tell you, when he preached to them people, your headquarters said, one way you can tell a person's true conversion, their headquarters is in the dust. He said, that's where they make their, that's where they put themselves before God, in the dust. And a man who's not in the dust, he's not come to God yet. I don't care how much religion he's got, if he ain't in the dust before God. And this man was in the dust before God.
That's all right.
And oh, beloved, look what he pleads. Look what he pleads. That Pharisee pleaded himself and his works and his deeds and his tithing and his prayer. But oh, that publican smote on his breast, this is where my sin lies. And he had one thing to plead: God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you get John Gill down or Matthew Henry, anybody you want to, when he says there, God, be merciful. That word merciful means propitiation. The same word as the mercy seat, the same word as an atoning victim. And what he was saying was, he stood afar off, and there was a sacrifice on the altar. There was the blood on the altar. There was that smoke coming up off of that sacrifice on the altar. And he's saying, God, because of that atoning sacrifice, because of that blood that was shed, because of that smoke that ascends through that burnt offering there, be merciful to me, the sinner. Accept me for that sacrifice sake. That's what he's saying. And oh, beloved, look what he said. Be propitiated to me, the sinner. The sinner. His eyes and hope was on the sacrifice smoking on that altar. And that's why he uttered this prayer. His prayer wasn't long. It was to the point. And it was honest. God, be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. And do it for that sacrifice's sake. Do it for that sacrifice's sake. And when a man's convinced of his guilt before God, convinced of it, he has no trouble. No trouble with the truth of substitution. God, have mercy on me for Christ's sake. Take His offering. Take His blood. Take His righteousness. Take His work. Take His death. Take His atonement. And be merciful to me for Christ's sake. He'll have no problem with substitution. He knows this is his only hope. And he'll bless God for the cross of Christ. He'll bless God where Christ was offered as a sacrifice for sin, where He was taking the sinner's place, where He has taken this publican's place, where God can be just and punish sins on that in His own blessed Son and justify them who come to His Son.
Amen.
Oh, he pleaded the atoning sacrifice. Now look what our Lord said about it. And here's what the infallible judge, Christ is the infallible judge. In verse 14, look what our Lord says. I tell you, the man ain't going to tell you. The Pharisee ain't going to tell you. Nobody else tell you. I'm telling you this. This man, who? This publican. This publican went down to his house justified. Who justified him? God justified him. God's the only one who can justify us. And he's got to have a reason to justify us. And the reason he can justify us, just like he justified that publican, was because of the sacrifice, because of the substitute, because of the bloodshedding, because of the offering. And he trusted in God's mercy given to him for what somebody else did. And he went down to his house justified. And if God justifies us, who can condemn us? Huh? And I tell you, the Lord Jesus pronounced exactly how God views these two classes of men. I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. That means the other didn't go to his house justified. Huh? And look what he says now. For everyone that exalts himself, hey God, I'm going to bring him down. I'm going to bring him down. Oh, look what's the over in Proverbs 28. Look at Proverbs 28. You know, he's the self-exalted shall be abased. And you know, that's one of the greatest griefs that we have after we've come to Christ and we've realized how our desperate need of Christ, and we've trusted in Him, when we look back on our religious experiences, it just absolutely makes us ill. Makes us sick. All the self-righteousness and the legalism and the works just makes us just so ashamed. You know, I'm ashamed of all the sin I committed before I got religion. But I'm more ashamed of all that I was in religion than I was in the rest. I was just a bona fide sinner out there. But boy, when I got religion and started lying on God, lying to myself, lying to everybody that listened to me. Now that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. And that's what our Lord said is, you exalt yourself. And oh, we exalted ourselves. Thank God He abased us in grace, not in judgment. Look in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Boy, that old Pharisee covered his sins. But whoso confesses them, that public confessed them, and forsakes them, he'll have mercy. I'm leaving them. Where are you leaving them? I'm going to leave them to Christ. I'm going to leave them to Him. God resists the proud, gives grace unto the humble. And all those, our Lord says, He resists the proud, gives grace unto the humble. And back over in our text, and our Lord said, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This man, how was he exalted? This publican exalted. The very fact that God justified him. The very fact that he went to his house. A justified man. That's pretty high. That's way up there. And the lesson for us to learn, that our Lord wants us to learn, put yourself forward. You're going to be abased. Put yourself down. God will pick you up. There ain't no way around it. One left to his self-righteous self, the other, one despised by that self-righteous Pharisee, went to his house justified. And I'll tell you something about us as human beings, and you know it as well as I do. Pride and self-righteousness is so part and parcel of our makeup, of our nature, that we got to fight it tooth and nail. We got to declare war on it. And that's why we got to come. That's why I want to hear the gospel all the time. Because if I don't hear the gospel, I'm going to get up. God, we got to declare war on our self-righteous. Got to declare war on this old flesh. And just be a sinner. Just be a sinner. You know why? Because that's just being honest. Because that's what we are. That's what we are. Who maketh thee to differ? Who maketh thee to differ? Our blessed Savior, I thank you for the gathering this evening, for the privilege to gather with your people. Lord, I know that I speak for everyone here that trusts you, believes you, looks to you. We need you. We want you. We're like that publican. We're like that publican. We ask for mercy. Mercy beggars. And oh Lord God, we don't never want to exalt ourselves. So Lord, when we feel ourselves getting up, you please humble us. Humble us, Lord. Keep us humble. Bring us down. Bring us down and keep us down. Oh God, forgive us of everything that's unlike you. Meet the needs of these dear saints and this congregation of believers. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn to 318 in the hymn book. You'll sing that and you'll be able to.